Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains Podcast. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society University, and this is the work of a chaplain, Lesson 11. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help those who are interested in serving others through chaplaincy, pastoring, coaching, and counseling to learn the basics of this profession. Our work of the chaplain passage for this episode, that is passage from the Word of God, is Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23, which says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Our work of the chaplain quote for this episode is from Augustine. He said, "What does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of men. That is what love looks like." Beloved, in this podcast we are going through the fine book, The Work of the Chaplain, by Naomi K. Paget and Janet R. McCormick. Our topic today is ministry tasks and competencies for the chaplain, part 3, religious witness. Chaplains also assume the role of a religious witness to their own faith and beliefs. Although techniques and methods vary among denominations and religions, chaplains also represent their personal faith tradition to the institutions they serve. As religious pluralists, they do not initiate a religious or evangelistic conversation, but by their character and actions, their presence, they begin the relationship that might open the doors for sharing their faith message. Because Americans enjoy the right to the free exercise of religion, proselytism, intentionally trying to convert someone to one's personal religious faith or belief system is highly unethical. Instead, chaplains find common ground for building the relationships that build trust and encourage discovery. Being a religious pluralist is not abandoning one's faith. Being a religious pluralist requires strength and wisdom for the chaplain who is faithful to his or her own faith and beliefs while being respectful and supportive of people whose faith traditions and practices are very different. The result of religious accommodation is peace and unity, a place where each person can experience the transcendent and the divine without compromise, resentment, or universalism. When asked, chaplains share their own. The result of religious accommodation is peace and unity, a place where each person can experience the transcendent and the divine without compromise, resentment, or universalism. When asked, chaplains share their own spiritual pilgrimage and witness to their own faith. Religion may be defined as the practice of a particular system of faith and beliefs within a cultural setting. Spirituality may be defined more broadly as the search for understanding and connection to beliefs and values that give meaning to a person's life. As a minister, the chaplain is a spiritual and religious provider. Chaplains provide the religious ministry that is attached to various faith traditions, but they also provide spiritual care to people who profess no religion. Through religious practices and spiritual connections, chaplains help people find meaning and purpose in their existence and all they hold sacred. This sacred could be God, but it could also be the transcendent, family, nature, or community. Many Protestant denominations do not have a priest. However, clergy of all faiths periodically serve in the priestly role. They stand before the people and cry out to God. In such the same way, chaplains have the ministry task of being a priest for the people they serve. Some chaplains act as intermediaries. Some chaplains act as intermediaries between God and people who feel they cannot or must not approach God personally. These people may be angry at God, or they may feel unworthy of God. They may never have considered God as approachable. They may be ashamed, embarrassed, afraid, intimidated, or physically unable. When asked, the chaplain represents an individual before God. Tom was dying of AIDS. He was alone, weak, afraid, and sad. No one came to visit anymore, and when someone did, the uncomfortable visitor made excuses to keep it short. But the chaplain came, visiting without personal agenda or judgmental assumptions, just to be with Tom. I was afraid to ask God to heal me. I have never been a religious person. Why would God hear me? Besides, I can't talk with this tube in my throat. I can't even get out of bed anymore. Will you talk to the man upstairs for me, chaplain? I don't expect a miracle. I just don't want to be so scared. Chaplains perform many of the same ministry tasks as other clergy, but their audience is much more culturally and religiously diverse. The venue may be quite different, and the ministry may be unusual compared to the traditional ministries of the church. The chaplain performs the task of minister by borrowing from many religious traditions and providing the freedom for people to worship, celebrate, and remember in personally meaningful ways. Beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue learning about the work of the chaplain in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. Lord, we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults as Christians unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us as we forgive others. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, and give us grace and wisdom and love and compassion in our hearts for others. Others, many we don't understand, and we don't deal with on a regular basis. But Lord, help us to be a conduit of your love towards them. And we pray that in the end, they would turn their hearts towards you and come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Now this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.